From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The False Lord of Righteousness and the True, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Completed Sacrifice. The text is Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. If by that laying on of his hand the bullock became the offerer's sacrifice, how much more shall Jesus become ours by the laying on of the hand of faith? My faith doth lay her hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand, and there confess my sin. If a bullock could be accepted for him to make atonement for him, how much more shall the Lord Jesus be our full and all-sufficient propitiation? Some quarrel with the great truth of substitution. But as for us, it is our hope, our joy, our boast, our all. Jesus is accepted for us to make atonement for us, and we are accepted in the Beloved. Let the reader take care at once to lay his hand on the Lord's completed sacrifice, that by accepting it, he may obtain the benefit of it. If he has done so once, let him do it again. If he has never done so, let him put out his hand without a moment's delay. Jesus is yours now if you will have him. Lean on him. Lean hard on him. And he is yours beyond all question. You are reconciled to God. Your sins are blotted out, and you are the Lord's.
Carry us death and love.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. From his text in Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message called "The False Lord of Righteousness and the True." There are two principal characters, Joshua, which is the Hebrew rendering of Jesus, then Adonai Zedek, whose name literally means King of Righteousness. But this man was a bitter enemy of God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true King of Righteousness, who took upon himself flesh in order to redeem sinners through his sacrifice on the cross. The city of Jerusalem means vision of peace, and Christ is the true King of Peace, the only one who was able to reconcile sinful men to a holy God. As Adonai Zedek was unworthy of his name, so Jerusalem, while retaining its name, has proven to be a citadel of apostasy. Although there are many today who try to deny the existence of apostasy in the church, the evidence is plain. There are many church leaders and others who take the name of Christian, but who deny the power of the gospel. Now to continue this message, the false Lord of Righteousness and the true, here is Dr. Cairns.
The wisdom of God never shone more brightly than in the answer of grace. Jesus Christ, the absolutely sinless and righteous one, came forth as the head of his believing people, joined in the covenant of redemption, so that the living head stood for the whole body. Jesus Christ, the righteous, satisfied God when he said on Calvary, "It is finished." When he said, "It is enough. It's done. It's complete." Thank God he had made the way whereby God could remain righteous and yet declare those who were personally guilty legally righteous, because of the righteousness of Christ that satisfied God and was put to their account. It's the great genius of the gospel. Thus the Lord of righteousness becomes the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23 verse 6 uses that title, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in chapter 33 and verse 16, the prophet uses the very same title and says, Jerusalem will bear that name. My, what a tremendous truth. This is the personal name and title of Christ. He is the Lord our righteousness. But we will bear his name. Jerusalem, his city. That glorious description of his people bears his name because he is the Lord our righteousness. This is the believer's testimony. As Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, he is made unto us righteousness. That's the first aspect of the work of Christ. He is the Lord of righteousness. And because he is the Lord of righteousness, he is the King of peace, the King of Jerusalem. That speaks of the reconciliation of the sinner. Now, reconciliation with God is always and only on the basis of Christ's work of righteousness. There is no other basis. People nowadays have reconstructed God in their own image. I realize that men have always done that. But we're living in a day when people don't, at least for the most part in America, I realize there are exceptions, but for the most part they don't bow down to stupid, idiotic little bits of wood and stone and acknowledge them as God. But they have built intellectual idols. And repudiating the God of Scripture, they have refashioned God according to their ideas, according to their thinking. This is how I conceive God. On every hand, people are saying, well, what I think and what I believe and how I conceive it. All they're saying is, I am an idolater and I worship the God of my own imagining. And usually that God is a God who is going to be lenient on their sin. He's going to accept them and be at peace with them if they're not as bad as someone else. Or if they do a certain amount of what they call good works. Or if they pay enough. Or whatever. But one way or another, men want a God who is going to accept them and be at peace with them because of what they do and because of what they are. Whereas the Scripture is adamant in this, that God cannot be at peace with the sinner except on the basis of the propitiatory work, the cross work, the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul spells it out at the end of Romans chapter 4 and into chapter 5. He says of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was delivered because of our offenses. That's why He went to the cross, because of our sins. He was raised again because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection, we are justified by faith. That's the only way. This is the fulfillment of the vision of Abraham that gave Jerusalem its name. Here is true peace. Romans 5 goes on to speak of this from verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood. Notice that line. Justified, that is, declared righteous on the ground of the blood atonement. Being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Again, underline that. Reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The word is there used in its most fundamental sense. We have now received the at-one-ment. Not the theological term atonement meaning satisfaction. It's the word reconciliation. We have received the at-one-ment. We are at one with God. No longer is there warfare. No longer is there alienation. No longer is there distance between us and God. No longer is God angry with us because of our sin. No longer is the wrath of God suspended over our head. Never again will the sword of judgment be unsheathed against us. Why? Because we are reconciled to God on the ground of Christ's righteous work at the cross. So there's much gospel in this text. And Adonai Zedek is the perfect name for the King of Jerusalem. However, in our text, we find that both king and city were unworthy of their names. Jerusalem in this text has no connection with or regard for the gospel of peace through the sacrifice of God's Lamb. Indeed, in this passage, Jerusalem stood as a sworn enemy of the progress of God's purpose. It was, in truth, a stronghold of Satan, though it still retained the name of Abraham's and Melchizedek's faith. Notice that. It retained the name that expressed the faith of Abraham. It expressed the faith of Melchizedek. But it was a stronghold of Satan. It is therefore a perfect picture of apostasy. What is apostasy? You could give many definitions. But simply put, apostasy is a system that holds on to the name while replacing the essential truth of the faith it professes. Apostasy is a system which holds on to the name while repudiating and rejecting the essential truth of the faith it professes. You remember in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke with the Jews. Verse 39 and then 41. The Jews answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Then verse 41, they said unto Him, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. He sent Me. Now notice this. They were boasting in the name, but they had given up the heart of the faith of Abraham. They were boasting that God was their father, but underneath they had a hatred of the very Son of God, the one whom God had sent. Similarly, the Word of God warns of people who use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but even while they do so, they reject and oppose the true message of the gospel. You remember that Paul warned the Thessalonians that the day of the Lord's return would not come except there come a falling away. The word is an apostasy first. Now that should tell you something. You have all these people running around trying to put a date on the coming of Christ, and they want you to believe that Christ is coming this year or next year. And let me tell you, whenever the Lord comes, it can't be soon enough. We say with John, even so, come Lord Jesus. But these very people are usually the ones who are leveling all distinctions. They're seeking union with Rome. You have a Jack Van Impe coming on television to all the fundamentalists of Canada and America, telling them about the great man of God that the Pope is, and the great prophecies of truth that are there, and how the New Roman Catholic Catechism is all Scripture, when it is the most elaborate perversion of the Scripture and the total repudiation of the gospel of Jesus Christ yet printed in the history of Romanism. They don't believe that there is a great apostasy. But Paul says before that day comes, and learn this, it cannot come except there is first a great apostasy, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He also told Timothy that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their consciences seared with a hot iron. Now when he talks about doctrine of devils, he's not talking about the occult. There are parts of Scripture that prophesy the reemergence of occult powers and an interest in occult things before the coming of the Lord. The book of the Revelation particularly draws attention to this. But that's not what Paul's talking about. When Paul talks about doctrines of devils and seducing spirits, he's talking about apostates who hold the name of Jesus Christ, who will with great unctuousness say, we are Christians. And they talk about peace. And they talk about justice. And they talk about love. And only an ecumenist can even pronounce the word as they do. They have given it a whole new sound, this ecumenical love. But they hate Christ. They hate the gospel. They hate the great distinctives of grace. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. All this is pictured in our text. This is what Jerusalem in the text talks about. It has the name, but it doesn't have the truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.